Let's stand, please. Thank you, Rhonda. Beautiful song, and how true. Sometimes God just says, be still. Scripture says, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. Take your Bible. I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. First Corinthians chapter 10, looking at verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and to drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Therefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you or allow you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these words, Lord. Examples written in the Old Testament. Examples that we should see and follow. Examples that we should know and understand, because they're written for our admonition, our learning, so that we know how to live in this day and age before you. Father, I thank you today for these words. And Lord, we ask today that you might bless. Father, if there's an individual in this room today that does not have the experience of receiving Christ as Savior and Lord of their life, that today, that would be that special day. Lord, that's the most important thing we have in this life, to receive Jesus Christ. In his name I pray, amen. You may be seated. How many of you have ever taken upon yourself to put something together or to build something, and you thought you could do it without the instructions? And so you try to put it together, and when all else fails, you get out the instructions, and you find out that maybe it's step one, step two, and step three, that maybe you didn't do it in the proper order. And I know Deb and I were putting together it's the thing that's out there. What do we call that? A little cart or everything. Yeah. And so I thought, you know, we put that thing together. I mean, it's just two shelves, four wheels, a couple of, you know, corner ends, four of them. I thought, you know, we can do that. And then pretty soon we found out something's just not right. And so then we pulled out the instructions, you know, step one, two, and three, and then we put it together in the proper order. But you know, this is what this is all about, expressing using that which is written in the Old Testament to be our admonition, that we learn from that. Real quick, take your Bible and turn to the left in your Bible, if you're still there in 1 Corinthians, to Romans chapter number 15, and looking at verse number 4. In my Bible, it's four pages to the left, but in yours, Romans 15, verse 4. And we have this, these words. It says, for whatsoever things were written aforetime or before, are written for our learning, okay? That we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have what? Hope. Hope. And so they're written for our learning. So whatever was written aforetime. So what Paul has written to this church here in 1 Corinthians is written so that they might understand and not follow down the same path that those people did that Moses brought out of Egypt. And so we see this. How many of you have ever heard the expression, they learn the hard way? They learn the hard way. You know, many times that is the way we learn. We learn the hard way when we look at it sometimes in our lives. The Bible teaches us we should learn from the failures of those who have gone on before us. Not to travel down the same path, not to make the same mistakes. I find today that parents and grandparents, we don't want our children or our grandchildren to make the same mistakes that we make, do we? But you know what? They do. They do. Because how many of us would want our children or grandchildren to walk in the same footprints that we walked in life? Or how many times would we want to look back on our lives and change what we did? I think we would all say there's things in our lives that we would like to change. Paul writes to this church and he says, look what they did before so that you don't do that now. And so he writes and referring to the nation of Israel, they had the glory and the very presence of God. They came out miraculously from the nation of Israel. God brought them through the Red Sea, where the scripture says, just like Rhonda sung, parting the waters. He parted the waters of the Red Sea, and they walked right through the Red Sea on dry ground. And yet we find what they really did. And so verse number 2, we find here, it says, and we're all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. It means they were identified with Moses in the cloud, God being that one who was in charge over them and through them as they walked through the sea. We need to learn from their experience. You know, whenever we look at the people in the Bible, we look at common and ordinary people. We look at people that really make mistakes. When you think of King David, what do you think of? The first thing we don't think of is we don't think of how great a king he is. We think of the mistake that he made with Bathsheba, don't we? Yeah. How many times do you think King David looked back on his life and said, I wish I hadn't have done that? What did it cause his life to become? Murderer, liar, cheat, a covetousness. All of the six things of the Ten Commandments, those last six, he broke them all. So many times we learn the hard way when we don't consider the ways that people before us went. Young people in here today, hey, look to older people. Why? Don't think for a second that they're old fogies. They might be, but believe me, they know the road that you're going to go down. They know older people have a testimony about how to live sometimes in life. Jonah, your mom and dad aren't that bad, okay? I mean, if you listen to them, they won't steer you wrong because they've been there. And Trayton, you and Clayton, you think mom and dad aren't really all there, don't you? They are. They are. They've lived life. They've lived life. You know, as we look at life today, the picture of people and how they lived, I'm glad this Bible doesn't give all of the glorious things. It gives also the decisions that are wrong. It tells people how we really are in life. And so Paul warns these somebody get me some water if they will, please. Thank you, Kyle. It's hereditary. But Paul warns these Corinthians, don't be ignorant. Don't be ignorant. Be informed. No. And I'll get this cleaned up sooner or later. No, I won't. Deb says, no, you won't. She lives with me. Thank you. But Paul warns these Corinthians, don't be ignorant. Be informed. Know what went on before you, and so you don't pass that way again. But what do we see with the nation of Israel? We see a people that were chosen by God. They were special. They were the apple of his eye, the scripture says. And he leads them. They are a led people. God has, and even today, God is leading the nation of Israel. He's allowing them to become what they want to be, but they were listened to. For 400 years, they were in slavery in Egypt, and God listened to them, and God brought them out miraculously. They were a protected people. We see here in this scripture, there was a cloud over them during the day, and there was a fire behind them at night, and God was there in their very presence. But you see, there's another group that God does the exact same thing with. There's this group called the church. The church in which we're a part of. And we see this in 1 Peter 2:9. It says, but you're a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You're a peculiar people that you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. That's what he says about the church. You're a chosen generation. You know, we're chosen by God before he ever formed this world, weren't we? If you're a Christian today, God knew you before the foundation of the world. Before he ever created heaven and earth, he knew you and me. And he has a marvelous plan. The church is a protected body of Christ. Protected. It's listened to. Prayer is important. And so he listens to the prayers of his saints, and he leads and he guides and he loves. That's what he does, and that's what he did for Israel. His love for Israel was seen in that he sent that 10th plague. Remember the 10th plague? What was it? Remember they had to go and kill a little lamb? And they had to kill that little lamb on the 14th day of the very first month. And they had to take the blood of that little lamb in the basin. And they had to take the blood of that little lamb and they had to splatter it over the doorposts. And when the death angel came through in Egypt, if he saw the blood, then he would pass over that household. But if he didn't see the blood, the firstborn in Egypt of everything in Egypt would die if he didn't see the blood over the door. And so that was God's design. It's salvation. even in Egypt, and it's a salvation today. The blood of Jesus Christ must be applied to our lives so that we might not die, but live with him forever. You see, we see here in this portion of scripture, and they were baptized, verse 2, unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat that same spiritual meat. We see a loving God here who miraculously brings them out. He provides food for them, and he provided water for them. But there's a great big B-U-T. Look at verse number 5. But with many of them, God was not well pleased. In other words, don't just think God is a loving God. There is a righteous indignation about our Heavenly Father that he gets angry. And notice verse 5. But with many of them, he was not well pleased. In other words, angry. Can I make God angry? Yes, I think I can. They did. So how do I make God angry? Well, do what they did. Now notice what it says. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. You know, that whole generation from 20 years old and above all died. Bible scholars say there was about 2 million that came out of Egypt. And the generations above the age of 20 all died. That's a lot of people that died in 40 years. I figured it up a little bit. How many funerals a day? Funerals a day. There was at least 9 funerals for every one of the priests every day. Every day. 9. I wouldn't want 9 funerals a day. I don't even want 1. But we also see God's anger here, and we can see what pleased or displeased him. And we notice here from verse number 6 on down to verse number 10, what really displeased God about the children of Israel. Okay? And so sin always displeases him. But if you notice here, now these things are examples to the intent we should, verse 6, that we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Lust. To desire. To desire beyond the comprehension to withstand. They lusted. Sin. 3 things, right? Remember what we learned about sin? Sin will always take you farther than you wanted to go. When I ever think of the 3 things about sin, is I always think of the little book of Ruth, where Elimelech and Naomi, they leave Bethlehem, Judah, the house of bread, and they go down into the cesspool of society, down into Moab. And they just went because there was a famine up here, and they just thought they would go down for a little while. No. Elimelech dies down there. And their 2 boys, Mahlon and Chilion, they also die down there. And Ruth cleaves to Naomi, and she comes back out of there. But Naomi comes back. I went down blessed, but I come back. I came back. Call me not Naomi. Call me Mara, or wasted. Sin will always take us farther than we want to go. It will always keep us longer than we want to stay. And it'll cost us more than we ever thought we'd have to pay. That's sin. overthrown in the wilderness. I wonder today, has America ever learned anything about the nation of Israel's history? You see, America's following right down the same footsteps exactly that the nation of Israel followed. There's two nations in the world that God designed. Israel, his firstborn, the apple of his eye, and America. God founded this great land of ours. And yet we're following right down the same evil footsteps that Israel walked down. And so we see here, they lusted after evil things. They desired to go back into slavery, go back into Egypt. They wanted to go back to that old slave lifestyle where drugs, alcohol, sex, and pleasures, all of those things are the very same things that we in the United States lust after. Not only that, their loyalty. We've lost our loyalty to God. We've left God. Our loyalty has become that of idols and thinking that the place of God has no more place in society. A lack of true worship in America. We lust after things, cars, yards, work, or even the place that occupies our mind and our thinking, our cell phones and our computers. You see, in verse number 5, God wasn't pleased. God's not pleased today. There's pestilences, their lifestyle. We find in verse number 8, neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed and fell in one day, 23,000. God got so angry, he said, I will destroy 23,000 and in one day. You see, here's the difference. Your body and my body today are the temple of the Holy Spirit of God if we're born again. And what we do in our bodies, it's the very temple of Almighty God. And what we do and what we allow in our lives can either honor or desecrate this body. Their lifestyle. Look at verse number 9. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Destroyed of serpents. What did they do? They said, we're sick. We're sick of this manna. God gave them angel food from heaven. And then what did they say? We're tired of it. We're sick of it. And we're tired of these birds or eating quail. God said, I'm going to give you a quail till it comes out your nose. And what did they do? He provided them the food and the blessings. You see, here's the thing. I can't go ahead and do what I want to do in the flesh, in my life, because there's a Holy Spirit that says within us, yes or no. Yes, you can do it, or no, don't do it. I'm glad for the Holy Spirit of God in our lives, aren't you? The convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God that says, no longer. I'm glad my God is not only loving, but I'm glad he's righteous and just. He's a stern God, and he demands worship and praise. And he's a deserving God, too. He deserves our worship and praise. God demands holiness. Look at verse 10. Neither murmur you. Hey, are any of you complainers? Who did I hear recently that was a complainer? Yeah, probably all of you. Have any of you complained this past week about anything? Bill, I shouldn't have brought it up, should I, Katie? Shouldn't have brought it up. I have a sneaking feeling that it wasn't you, Katie, that was complaining. It was probably Brad, but... But here's the thing. We better never tempt our God with the very sin that we desire to do. Take your Bible, and I want you to go to the right, to the little book of Titus. It's Titus, Philemon, Hebrews. So if you come to Hebrews, you've gone too far. But I want you to turn to a couple of pages right before Hebrews. You have a little book of Titus. Little book of Titus. In chapter 2. Titus chapter 2. And I want you to look at verse number 11. It's a very interesting little phrase here in the little book of Titus chapter 2. It says... In verse number 11, it says, for the grace of God. Hey, how did you get saved? By the very grace of God, right? Scripture tells us in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any should boast. Notice here, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation, that's how we got saved, hath appeared to all men. There's grace of God that's available to everyone. Notice what the grace of God does. It teaches us, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, denying those, don't let them be a part of our lives, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age or this present world. That's what we ought to do because of the grace of God that's been given to us. And it teaches us to do these things, the very grace of God. And then it says, in looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Wow. I'm glad my grace given to me, but my Heavenly Father is teaching me to deny these things. Oh, it's not always a denial that we have to realize. Sometimes we give in, don't we? Let me ask us this question, a kind of convicting question. Have you ever seen anything that was lustful this week on the TV or on your cell phone or on your computer? It's always out there, isn't it? It's always in front of us. Sex sells. It just does. And God sent serpents in Numbers 21, verse number 6. He sent serpents and they bit the people because of their murmuring and their lusting and their constant complaining. 23,000 died. And Moses went to God and he said, God, what do you, these people are dying from the serpents that are biting them. And God says, you take one of those serpents and you make it out of brass and you put it up on a pole. And if they look at that serpent, they'll be healed. The same thing is true for you and I. The scripture tells us as Jesus was lifted up, and we look to him, he'll heal our sin-sick souls. And it's true. It's true. And scripture tells us that as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And he was. He was hung on a tree for you and me. So they lusted, and their loyalty was gone, and their lifestyle was that of murmuring. But not only that, we find that their mouths, their lips was nothing more than complaining. Murmuring, complaint after complaint. They murmured about Moses. They murmured about their food. They murmured about water. We don't have enough water. And God sent Moses, and he smote the rock, and water came out of the rock. They cried and mourned and murmured about everything. And then they complained about Moses. And there's a man named Korah. Korah. K, started with a K. He led a rebellion because of all of that against Moses. The scripture is very graphic when it talks about the rebellion of Korah. Moses said, "Separate yourselves from him. Separate yourselves from Korah." And if God does something very special that's not been done before, let it be known that I am the leader, Moses said. And so what did God do? The ground opened up. It swallowed Korah, his family, his tent, all of his possessions. They all went down into the earth and closed up over him. Listen. We need to learn from their mistakes, folks. We can learn hard, or we can learn righteously. Which will it be? You see, this morning, God loves you. And he loves me. And he did the very best that could be done for you and me, and that's that he sent his only begotten Son so that you and I might live. What else could he do? What more could he do? But our God is a jealous God. He won't take second place in my life, and he won't take second place in yours. He doesn't have to, nor will he. He demands righteousness. So this morning, let's don't learn the hard way. Let's learn by the mistakes of those who have gone on before us. As Paul writes this little letter to this church at Corinth, learn from their mistakes. You know, we're living in a day and age of acceptance, aren't we? Acceptance. Oh, you know, I believe we're living in a day and age of acceptance, but I think the acceptance is compromise. There's one thing our God will not do. He will not compromise, nor will he allow his children to compromise. Let's stand this morning. I ask you the question today. How is your life? No, really. How is our lives? Are we closer today to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, or are we way, way far away? Am I closer today than I was yesterday to my Lord? Here's the thing, I am closer to him. The reason being, I'm one day closer to him. It's a truth. It's not hard to understand that, is it? You see, because every single one of us will one of these days stand face to face. The Bible tells us we're going to stand face to face
in front of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He'll either be my Lord and Savior or he will be my judge. One is love. One is destruction. One is heaven. One is hell. One is welcome home. One is depart, I never knew you. Paul says, I don't want you to be ignorant of those that went on before us. We dare not learn the hard way. The Bible says, and you've heard me say this, and I just quote it from the book of Philippians, that one of these days, your knee and my knee are going to bow before Jesus Christ and acknowledge him as Lord to the glory of God the Father, who sent him so that we might live. I'm glad I've learned that. I'm glad someone told me about Jesus Christ. I'm glad he's the only Savior that I can go to, because he's the only Savior. How about you? Do you know him? Does he know you? That's the case. And with those, many of those, God was not well pleased. And he destroyed them, and all that generation died. You and I will die too. We will die. Except the Lord return, we will die. It's 100%. Where will we spend eternity? That's the greatest question that we must all answer. And we will answer it. We will answer it. Boy, isn't it great to know where you're going? And we can know. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. I like that. That's why I preach. That's why I preach. Sometimes the messages are not easy. It's not always love, 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 love. That's what God is. No, sometimes it's hate. Hate, hate, hate. He hates. Proverbs chapter 6 says, six things the Lord hates, yea, seven are an abomination to him. Our God is a hater too. He hates sin in our lives. Don't leave without Jesus Christ. It's not worth it. Let's pray. Father God, please, I come into your presence today, Father, and I plead. Like this morning, I ask you today, Lord, if there was someone coming into this room today during the worship service, that if they came into this room without Jesus Christ, that they wouldn't leave without him. Father, the destination of leaving without Jesus Christ is so horrifically terrible that it's beyond comprehension. We find there in Revelation 20, the books will be opened and those without Christ will be judged out of the things in the books. And Lord, then the destruction comes, the second death. Father, I don't want anyone in this room to go that way. Neither do you. You've done everything that you can to keep people out of hell and the lake of fire. You've done it, everything. But sometimes men say, I will not have this God to rule over me. And they choose. Father, dismiss us with your blessing, Lord. Bring us back tonight as it pleases you as we continue your study. And Lord, we are so, so privileged to have the examples of the Old Testament to be the issues and those placed before our eyes so that we might not travel down that path that they went to in destruction. And we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you today. Shake hands, please, before you leave.